How many's been enjoying this crazy weather? I'm telling you, I sort of say great, but now I'd be lying. So I think it's weather. Whether or not you like it is up to you. All right. I'm just going to sit down for a while. This weather has got to my knee. Amen. Lord, God's so good, though, in the middle of all of it. Ready? So here we go. Look at that. For those that don't know what a manger is, that's a manger. God did not send his son to a palace. He didn't send his son to a penthouse. He didn't send his son in all the pomp and circumstances in some fancy hotel, fancy hospital. His son was in a stable. It's so important. Many times we forget. We don't even realize just how important that is. More than likely, that stable was a cold, damp cave. So here it is, God sending his son, not in silk, but in swaddling clothes. Now, I want you to know this, that the manger was not a mistake. God weren't looking down on the earth, trying to find a place, couldn't find a place, and so he said, let's go in here in this cold, damp, stinky, stable cave and have my son and put him in a feeding trough. Wow. This message to me is so powerful because it's saying I'm Emmanuel, which means God is with us, even in your lowest of places. How many... You ain't got to raise your hands. You can if you want to. How many has felt kind of low lately? Okay? You've had some low spots in your life. And a lot of times we have these low spots, we are thinking that maybe, you know, God's overlooked us and he's over here somewhere and we down here. Where is God? He's in that stable, in that manger, in those swaddling clothes, which means he chose the lowest of the lowest places to be born. So God is with you in your lowest, lowest places. You're not too far away that God can't touch you. So in the swaddling clothes, they point to the grave clothes. We're going to talk about all that in just a minute. So here we go. I love it. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, thou art small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient of times. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. See, that word manger in the Greek is feeding trough. When D.C. was born, I'd have had a fit if they'd have put him in a feeding trough. Although they had to feed him like he was in a trough. When my other children were born, I'd have had a fit if somebody had said, put them in a manger, a feeding trough, and wrap him in swaddling clothes. Wow. But all that was doing is, number one, and this is for us, it shows humility. God humbled himself, made himself of no reputation to come be part of us. But he wanted us to know that he's not just part of the rich set. He's not just part of the ones that's got it all made. He's a part of everybody. Amen? He's a man's man. And here it goes, and it foreshadows the grave clothes. I'm going to talk about all that in a minute, and it's very powerful. I was trying to sit down, but I think I'm going to have to get up anyway. So, in Isaiah, Micah chapter 2, it says this prophecy was fulfilled in Bethlehem. In Isaiah 53, verse 2, it says he was not beautiful to look at, and there was no majesty on him. He was not even attractive. Can you imagine that? Jesus, you're thinking, you know, Hollywood makes him look like he come out of GQ magazine. Says he didn't even look good. Because he wanted to know what it was like to be like the lowest of the low. Simon Peter came following him and entered into the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying, which is the grave clothes. The grave clothes, honestly, the grave clothes are the same material as the swaddling clothes. Okay, so now, John 19, Jesus wrapped him in linen, they wrapped Jesus in linen strips. And John 26 and 7, the grave clothes left behind and the head cloth was folded. There's something special about that head cloth folded. Back in the day, if you were to eat a meal, and you were through with the meal, and you weren't coming back, you would crumble up the linen, and you would throw it down. But if you wanted to signal to the servants that you were coming back, you would fold it up nice and neatly and in order and set it on your table, and they would know that you were coming back. The resurrection was not an afterthought. That head cloth was folded. Yes, the clothes were thrown to the side, but that head cloth was folded, which shows me there was a lot of power and there was a lot of organization in that resurrection. So grave clothes are the proof of his death, and the empty tomb was the proof of victory. So let's move on a little bit further. I'm making a very strong point here. We're going to get all the way through this before I can really drive this thing home like I want to. God's glory in humble wrappings. Wow. See, swaddling clothes look like rags, but they wrap the king in these rags. Grave clothes look like defeat, but they were left behind in victory. Let me tell you something about these swaddling clothes. They were just strips. They were strips of cloth. And when a baby was born, it had to get used. It had to transition from being in its mother's womb to being in this cold world. And so what they would do would take these strips and they would wrap it around the baby, and they'd wrap it around and wrap it tight, and they would hold the baby good and tight. And it was there for some time to let that baby know that he was still being held like he was in his mama's womb. And eventually they would take the linens and they would throw them away. Okay? The same thing with the grave clothes, same material. So what it did was these rags, these swaddling clothes, rags. First, it showed a connection. He was here for everybody. Everyone is also there for comfort. You know what? When I need somebody to talk to me, I need somebody that's been there. Swaddling clothes. Also talked about confinement to the physical problems that we have. So let's go ahead. I know I'm going through this kind of quick and it's kind of jumping around, but honestly, when I get to the end, it's going to make a lot of sense. Here's your challenge today. One of your challenges. Will you recognize God's presence when it looks ordinary? I got a Pentecostal background. And it's powerful. You've been coming into those powerful services and people are shouting and they're falling out and there's all kinds of stuff happening. And we're going, man, God was there today. How can you tell? Because all the stuff that was happening, God showed up and showed off. What about when you're in a nursing home? What about when you're in a cancer center? What about when you were someone that's got cancer and they smell like death? Can you notice God's presence when things are ordinary? Will you embrace His glory even when it comes to humble wrappings? Wow. So I'm moving on. Man, I wish I had my pointer. I feel like I'm going to mess up here. I'm driving like a Nintendo. Y'all ready? I'm on a Nintendo here. At least he said, Daddy, don't kick the gas too hard. It'll flip that page really fast. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Say this out loud. Unusual birth, unusual glory. Say it. Unusual birth, unusual glory. Say it again. Unusual birth, unusual glory. So now, here it goes. You ready? The manger held him as a baby. The cross held him as a savior. Swaddling clothes, grave clothes, glory. Getting ready to show you something. I know. Hold on. We're getting there. Here's the challenge. Will you leave behind your own grave clothes? You see, let me stop here and meddle a minute. It's amazing how God saves us and gives us new life. And we still walk around with things that doesn't please Him. Habits, attitudes, things, grave clothes, sin, shame, fear. Are you willing to leave behind your grave clothes? I know I'm jumping all around. I promise you I'm getting somewhere. Hold on. We're almost there. See, we've already got conclusion. It don't mean anything, but it's already there. All it means is we're coming in for a landing. Don't tell me how long the strip is. Ready? All right. God's with us in every place, high and low, from swaddling clothes to grave clothes, from manger to the cross. Jesus embraced humanity so we could inherit glory. Two more challenges, and I'm driving it home. Will you see the cross in the cradle? And will you see salvation in His humility? Number two, will you open your heart to revival in unusual places, maybe even in your own home, in your workplace, in your family? To this day, I can think about camp meetings. I went to camp meetings, Snow Branch camp meeting all the time. I saw God move a lot, saw a lot of things happen, saw healings, all kinds of things. Really, really, really struck me. Of course, number one was that's where God healed me. I had TMJ, He healed me. I couldn't open my mouth. Some of y'all say, oh, I wish you hadn't done that then, because you can still how you can open it. I couldn't open my mouth. I couldn't eat a hamburger. God healed me. It was amazing. And from that time on, I started serving God with love and power and with anointing. But the most powerful thing that I can ever remember was I was up on the stage. And I was praying for folks. The place was packed. And I was praying for folks. And I turned. And I noticed a little fella right about here. And I saw his shoulders moving, so I knew he was crying. And I was getting ready to go pray for him. I said, but there's something special about that young. It stays in my mind a lot. I walked down, and it was D.C. He's 5 or 6 years old. That was so powerful that day. I put my arm around my son, and I led him to Christ. I saw God's presence, not in all the shouting, not in all the people falling out in the spirit. I weren't seeing all the healing. I saw God's presence down there in my son giving his heart to Jesus Christ. And it hit me so hard. It took me a while before I could even talk because I was crying so hard. Just looking down there and seeing my son down on his knees asking God to come into his heart. My question is, will you open your heart to revival in unusual places? Your own home, your workplace, your family. Here we go. I told you I was getting ready to do it. Ready? We're going to do this comparison. The manger and the cross. The manger was a cave, a borrowed stable, because there was no place for them to stay. They had no way, but God made a way where there was no way. When he died, he had nothing. So they borrowed a tomb, a cave. They had no way. God made a way where there was no way. How many here knows that God's going to make a way for you where there is no way? If he can take his son and find that cave for his cradle and find that cave after he died for it, who he could resurrect, If God can make a way where there is no way there, he can do it for you right now. Somebody say, God, say it out loud. God, I thank you for making a way where there is no way. I thank you for making a way where there is no way. One more time. God, I thank you for making a way where there is no way. Let's go a little bit further. Oh, man, look at that picture. In the manger, it was made of broken wood. It carried out a common task. It was to dispense broken food. It's amazing how the bread of life was there. He was helpless. He was in the hands of others. His back was upon the wood. He was a precious gift. On the cross, he was on broken wood. He carried out a common task. He dispensed his broken body. He was helpless. He was in the hands of others. His back was on the wood, and he was a precious, precious gift. Wow. That's so powerful. And then finally, swaddling clothes. They were linen strips. They brought comfort to that baby and to the mama. But they were temporary. They were one-time use. And then they were soon empty. The grave clothes. They were linen strips. They brought comfort. They were temporary. They were one-time use. Soon empty. Wow. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Ready? Y'all pray this with me. Deacy, come on up here. I make a request. Can you do that Hosanna again? Y'all pray this with me. Lord, today, not tonight, but today, we thank you for the unusual birth that brought unusual glory. Read it with me. We lay down our grave clothes, our shame, our sin, our fear, and we step into your light. Wrap us down in your righteousness and let your glory shine through us. Everybody, please stand. Last week, we come up with some words, some phrases that we were going to start saying through this Christmas season. I added one to it. Ready? Here's our power declaration. Say this with me. My Nazareth is enough. Remember last week? My Nazareth is enough. The low places. Grace has stamped my life. Say it. Grace has stamped my life. Say, fear falls, favor stands tall. Say it. Fear falls, favor stands tall. Now say, my room is holy ground. And say, my yes detonates this destiny. I can't even say it. Y'all saw that, right? Say that. One more. The manger and the cross. No shame, but glory. There, I put your hands out. Put your hands up. Close your eyes. No looking around. We see all these manger scenes and we these sweet cartoons. We forget there's a cold, dark, clammy cave. They had no doctor. They had no midwife, no nurse. They took care of having baby Jesus. They took a piece of linen and tore it, wrapped it around him, and put him in a feeding trough. Some of the kings of the world now will look back and say, man, oh man, why would they do that to a king? There's no other king in this world that can actually know how we feel. Go to King Charles and get him to understand how you feel. He can't do it. Go to the kings in Arabia and other places. They cannot do it. But Jesus knows how you feel. And when you're feeling at your very lowest, the lowest of low, he's got you. He's got you. He's got you. Y'all say he's got us. Say he's going to do the impossible. And thank him for it. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the manger because it shows that you're concerned with everyone, that your mind is on all of us, that we're all important to you. There's no Democrats, no Republicans, no White House, no Senate, no Congress. It's the King, Jesus. Loving you so much. Then he came in that cold, damp, musty cave, laid in a feeding trough, so he could relate to everyone. Right now, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer. Also, when you're praying, and thank God for Wayne and his family, because they're at a very, very big celebration today. They got a granddaughter getting married. So let's thank God for that celebration, too. All right, let's say Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses.